It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Titus, we are continuing our series in the book of Titus, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. The book of Titus, penned by the Apostle Paul by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to his convert in Christ, Titus, with the mission of establishing order and structure to the Cretan churches. The book of Titus contains church doctrine, church conduct, order, qualifications, and disqualifications for the ministry, all included that Titus may establish Christian order and structure to the Cretan churches on his missionary journey. Titus chapter 2, verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Here, Paul once again is ensuring that sound teaching takes place from Titus. Peter, in the book of 1 Peter, underscores this principle when he states, if any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God. This is in contrast to the false doctrines that were being promulgated by false teachers throughout the churches. Our discussions earlier reminded us that there are two specific ways that the enemy attacks the church and attacks Christians. The basic two ways are persecution from outside the church to the believer and the church, and false doctrine from within the church that corrupts the church or corrupts the believer. Verse number 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Here in verse 2, Paul is beginning his instructions on the older individuals in the church, the more seasoned Christians, the ones that are experienced in their Christian journey, to pass on solid instruction to the younger generation. He begins here with the men, aged men, instructing and passing on good Christian teaching by example and by word to the younger generation. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31 says, the hoary head or the gray head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. There is something to be said about experience in this Christian journey that can be passed on to the younger generation. Items that are not learned in tabloid magazines, items that are not learned through television shows and such like. We are speaking of passing on the nuggets of truth found in the Word of God based on the experience of those who are seasoned in their Christian journey that can pass on how to live this Christian life in all aspects to the younger generation. We are to pass on the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ from generation to generation as instructed in Scripture. Psalm 78, verses 3 through 4 declare the following, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. We are obligated and have a responsibility as the seasoned and elder generation to pass on these principles to the younger and newer generation And if we fail in this task, then we will lose not only the next generation from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, but the next generation will also not have the moral fiber and ethical foundation to maintain this nation's sense of righteousness and passing righteous laws and righteous leadership. We are not to depend on the school system nor others to pass on the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of Scripture. We are to do that as a family and in the local church. Verse 2 speaks of being sober. This means not only from chemicals, drugs, and alcohol, but also able to make sound decisions. Verse 2 speaks of grave. This speaks of being honest, decent, worthy of respect. Temperate in verse 2 speaks of self-control, not given over to the appetites and desires of the flesh, but able to be led by the Holy Spirit of God, showing constraint, moderation, and self-control. Sound in faith means being grounded, being rooted in your Christian faith, not being double-minded, but having a made-up mind to finish the course on this Jesus journey. Charity speaks of unconditional love as found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, ensuring that love is the motive in all that we do for the Lord. And in patience, which means learning how to wait on the Lord, knowing that in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our very being. Psalm 37 verse 7 states, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." Verses 3 through 5. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Here now the instruction is given to the aged women, to the seasoned women in the church, to pass on the ways of how to conduct themselves in the church, but also how to live this Christian life, passed on to the younger women. Verse 3 speaks of having the behavior that becometh holiness. This is a holy and pure lifestyle that comes from the inside out and not from the outside in. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 9 through 10 echoes this principle. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with all good works. Here Timothy is speaking that it's okay to adorn ourselves in modest apparel, in appropriate apparel, to enhance a woman's beauty. But Timothy here is saying that the beauty comes from within and not from the extravagance of what could be worn on the outside. The beauty is from within that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, and it can be enhanced as we all dress ourselves and maintain ourselves in ways that are appropriate in the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3 echoes this also. Whose adorning let it not be that of the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of the apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So here, Timothy, Peter, and Titus are all saying that it is appropriate for individuals to dress and enhance themselves in beauty, in the splendor of their wardrobe. but in contrast, not to allow the splendor of that wardrobe to speak for their beauty, but let it be from the inside out. Verse 3 continues, not false accusers. This means not slanderers or gossipers, individuals to make false accusations on others, to stir up drama and strife. Not given to much wine speaks of individuals free from the influence of chemicals, drugs, and alcohol. The Bible teaches to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Verse 3 concludes with teachers of good things, individuals being instructed on how to live a life that is pleasing to God. Verse 4 speaks of being sober, once again making sound decisions, to love their husbands and to love their children. This speaks of the Bible way to love their husbands and children. Individuals make it their instruction from unbelievers on television or in magazines and different writings, but individuals should be instructed on how the Bible says to love their husbands and love their children with the love of Jesus Christ that ensures that there is unconditional love in the marriage, mutual submission, spouse to spouse, and nurturance and protection in love for the children. Verse 5 speaks of being discreet. This means walking circumspect before the Lord, ensuring that our decisions and our actions will give God the glory while remaining modest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Chaste speaks of purity. It speaks of holy modesty in dress and in conversation. Keepers at home speaks of individuals that focus on ensuring that their home is a place that receives the priority of nurturance, cultivation, a place of safety, a place where individuals can come and provide themselves with sanctuary from the world's turmoil, and a place where there's mutual love inside the home and a sense of family. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1 says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Verse 5 concludes that the word of God be not blasphemed. The instruction that's given to the young woman ensures that a woman's actions, her speech, and her manner of life will not bring dishonor to the Lord, but bring him glory. These principles are underscored in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, verses 10 through 31, speaking of the virtuous woman. Verses 6 through 8. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Here in verse 6, the young men once again are instructed. Sober-minded once again means to make sound biblical decisions. Verse 7 speaks of modeling. It speaks of a pattern of life. It speaks of a lifestyle that's an example for all to see, a follower in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul told the Corinthian church, follow me as I follow Christ. We are to model our Christian walk to the world. The Bible says we are living epistles. The Bible says we are salt of the earth and the light of the world. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul writes, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. We are to talk the talk, and also to walk the walk. Verse 7 continues to speak of doctrine. This is sound teaching, the fundamental conservative principles of Scripture, showing uncorruptness. This again speaks of holding fast to the tenets of the Word of God, both in our teaching and in our lifestyle. Gravity, once again, speaks of being honest, worthy of respect. Sincerity speaks of being genuine. Verse 8 declares sound speech that cannot be condemned. This is ensuring that the words that we speak out of our mouth show a contrast to the words that are spoken by an unbeliever in the world. In other words, removing cursing from our lips, ill speaking about others from our lips, negativity from our lips, speaking things that are edifying to others. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 says, "To remove all filthy communication out of our mouth." When individuals can do this, there is nothing anyone can say truthfully against their Christian walk. Verses 9 through 10. "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." Verse 9 and 10, Paul begins to give instruction to Titus on servants, or individuals who are employees, volunteers, any individual in a position of serving someone else. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 echoes the same principle. "Let as many servants are as under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed." Titus chapter 2, verse 9 speaks of loyalty as they serve their own masters, and to ensure that they're doing their level best when it comes to an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. Verse 9 speaks of not answering again. This speaks of not talking back, not being passive-aggressive, but supporting the mission of the job. Verse 10 speaks to not purloining. This means not stealing from your employer. In spite of your employer having an abundance of supplies around you, those items do not belong to us, and there is no justification for stealing. Those items belong to our employers, and we are charged to be good stewards over the job that we've been given and the logistics and the supplies and finances that have been entrusted to us. Verse 10 speaks of showing all good fidelity. This is trustworthiness. This is faith and confidence in the individual that they will perform their job duties above and beyond the call of duty. And verse 10 closes with this type of conduct as an ornament shown to the world that we are faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are who true Christians are, which will draw others to want to be Christians and trust him as Lord and Savior. Verses 11 through 14, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Here in verses 11 through 14, Paul is teaching that all men can obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. After conversion, there is evidence that God is a God of righteousness based on His grace toward all, based on His creation, and this should convict and lead men to present themselves in a way that they wait for the return of the Lord. Verse number 11 speaks about the grace of God that bringeth salvation appearing to all men. Not only is this the grace of God through Jesus Christ in salvation, but this is the grace of God for all individuals that are given a daily opportunity to come to Christ. And they see this in the majesty and the splendor of God's creation. The Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." When individuals see the majesty and splendor of creation in their heart of hearts, they should ponder that it's a wonder to see how there is a God, a wonderful God, a great God. And this should lead them to want to know who this God is. This grace of God extending to all individuals that are given opportunities to come to Christ day after day after day. Scripture teaches, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse number 12 declares that this particular evidence of God's grace, evidence in His majesty and creation and His splendor, is teaching us that this particular life that we live should be a life that's conducted ourselves with the appropriate conduct. That there should not be lawlessness. There should not be selfishness and riot. But to the contrary, this grace of God that we see each and every day in the splendor and majesty of His creation and who He is should lead us in a sense of wanting to do what's right, living soberly, righteous, and godly in this present world. Scripture teaches that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, and to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Verse 13 concludes with this particular expectation of a righteous life based on the grace of God and His splendor and majesty of creation. It culminates with us looking for the return of the Lord. Individuals that love the Lord are looking for Him to return. When spouses miss that loving spouse all day and look forward to an embrace and a kiss and to look in their eyes and to enjoy their company, this can be compared on an exponential scale to the Lord as we look to the Lord's return because we love Him and we long to be with Him and long to thank Him for washing us and cleansing us and giving us the gift of everlasting life. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 12 speaks of this longing for the return of the Lord and states, "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God." We are looking and longing for the Lord to return and to take us home on high. Verse 14 speaks of our redemption in Christ. "For His precious blood has purchased us and has washed us and cleansed us from all iniquity." 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 declares, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold," verse 19, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Verse 14 is giving us motive on how we long for Him and look for his return back in verse 13. It's because he's washed us and cleansed us and forgiven us and given us mercy and grace and everlasting life through Jesus Christ. Verse 14 concludes with our declaration that we are purified as a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 echoes this principle. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Not only is verse 14 speaking of our zealousness to do good works in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 2 echoed the same principle and also echoes the principle that we don't do good works to be saved. We do good works after we're saved because we love the Lord and because we want to serve him and please him and do his will. Verse number 15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Here in verse number 15, Titus is given instruction that he is an authority, that he speaks with authority on the words of God. Exhort means to earnestly advise. Rebuke means to reprimand and correct. And Paul encourages Titus not to let anyone despise him, his authority, his calling, his mission, and what he is ordained by God to do because he speaks on behalf of the Lord. For he is speaking not the words of Titus, he is speaking the word of the Lord. This is also declaring that Titus speak with such vigor as to command respect. Titus is to speak and warn them with such authority that no one may think himself above the need for correction. Others who are called by the Lord, that speak on behalf of the Lord in terms of ministry, preaching, and teaching, are to speak with the authority of the Lord, not from an intellectual perspective, but to speak from a perspective that they know that what they say is true because they're living it and they have the unction of the Holy Spirit on the inside that bears witness that what they're saying is of the Lord. This is Titus chapter 2. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from his loving kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me this prayer? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.